Good evening, everyone. Last time we finished Mark chapter 12. Chapter 13 now in verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Look how magnificent and powerful and large and huge these stones are and these buildings are. And they were. And how they built them is really amazing during their day. And some of them are still there, like the Wailing Wall. And Jesus answering said unto them, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be one left, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And they've just been turned into rubble because of all the wars and whatever. And the rest that are still kind of stacked on one another will be reduced to rubble in the coming destruction of Jerusalem. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, verse 3, over against the temple, Peter and James and John, over against but opposite of the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately. And they said this, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Please explain all of this to us, and let us know when all this is going to take place. We don't understand. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus, answering them, began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Not saying they are Christ, although some dingbats and idiots do say that they're Jesus Christ. What he's saying here is they're going to come saying, He, Jesus Christ, is Christ, preaching about Jesus, preaching about Christ, and doing it in a way that deceives many. Verse 7, When you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be you not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. And are we hearing of wars and rumors of wars? Oh, yes, every day, all over the planet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes. Are we hearing about these things? Yes, we are. In diverse places, many different places. And there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrow. Tell you what, verse 7 and 8 describes the world in which we're living today. And it's getting more and more that way. It says these are just the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in a synagogue you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now there's some duality here. This did happen before, and to a degree it can happen again. And persecution will probably come again. It's already happened, and it'll happen again. Being brought before rulers and kings, Mr. Armstrong was brought before the rulers and kings in his day, for sure. And he was a testimony, too, for them. And the gospel was preached and published. Verse 10, And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 68. Psalms chapter 68, and notice a companion scripture here. Psalm 68, and verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. We're part of that company. We're part of that work. We're part of that church, His true church, His real work. We have that great privilege of being a part of it. To publish the gospel of the kingdom of God, as well as preach the gospel, proclaim it in print as well. And we have the Straightforward magazine. We wish we could publish it every month or every other month. But, you know, we do what we can and what God provides, and we try to get at least one and hopefully two out a year and more as time goes along. But we're doing it with His help. And it's going to all nations. It's amazing when you come into the office and you look at a world map and you see pins that show where we send magazines. It's everywhere. To many, many, many people in many, many, many nations all over the world. It is being published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak you, for it is not you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit. The apostles had to do this. Paul had to do it. And there's coming a time when some of us might have to do it, and God will just help us say what He wants us to say. And this happened before, and it could happen again. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Endure unto the end in the truth, all the way to death, or all the way to the time that Christ comes again. So there's some duality in these passages. Some of these things have happened before, and some of them will happen again before it's all over. And this right here has happened before, and it will happen again before it's all over. Notice verse 14. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that reads understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And Daniel talked about this, and it did happen. And they did have to flee to the mountains. This abomination of desolation in the holy place was set up, and it brought about horrible things and the destruction of Jerusalem, which was left desolate, and the church had to flee to Pella, to the place of safety in their day, and then on over into Europe, and later on over to the U.S., and here we are today. Well, we're going to have to flee again in the future to a place of safety. And we will flee when the abomination of desolation and the great tribulation are nearing. And before it all hits, he'll take his church to a place of safety. Won't be Pella. Might be, but I don't think so. We don't know where it'll be. But it will be a place in the wilderness of protection. Verse 15, and let him that is on the housetop not go down unto the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house, and let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. In other words, when the time comes to go, just go. When the time came for them to go, they had to leave. And those that were in Judea had to flee. In the future, there might not be anybody in Judea. There might, but there may not be. But there will be people in other places, and when the time comes, they're just going to have to go. You can't sit there and say, okay, we're going to have to leave and go to the place of safety, but let's pack and let's get the dog and the dog food and let's get all of our screens and let's get all of our sports equipment. Let's get everything and show up to wherever you're supposed to show up in order to flee. And there's so much to carry that it can't be taken. We're not going to be able to take big loads of food and suitcases of clothes and boxes of toys and books. We're just going to have to flee. And then when we get there, God will take care of the clothes and the food and our needs. That's what they had to do when the first fleeing took place of the church in 69 and 70 AD. Verse 16, let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. It's going to be a time to where the time has come, we got to go. Some won't have the faith to do it. And some won't go. And I'm not talking about a time where it's vague and it's so uncertain you don't really know if you're being told by God to flee now. That's not the way it'll be. It won't be some mysterious signal or code. God will make it plain to his people where there's no doubt that now is the time to flee, and this is what you have to do, and this is straight from God, so you have to do it. But some won't. Some will be reluctant, and some will back off, and some just won't be willing to leave everything. That's what I think, and that's what human nature's like. You know, when they were told to flee Egypt and come on out of Egypt and get on out into the wilderness, did you see what happened once they got out there? They wanted to go back, and some wanted to go back. So maybe everybody will, but I wonder. I just wonder. I hope everybody will go who is told to go. I hope nobody holds back. I hope nobody says, oh, I just can't leave my dog here. I can't leave my bird or my fish. I hope not. And I can't say one way or the other, but I must say, I wonder if some just won't have the faith and will just hold back and not make it. I hope none of us will be that way. I hope we'll be so close to God and we can prove this is from God, and therefore we go. We don't try to take a bunch of stuff with us. We just follow directions and go. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. I mean, he's dressed. He's got clothes on. But don't go back to the house and get a bunch of other clothes is what it's saying. But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. It's going to be kind of a tough journey so that if you're pregnant or you're nursing, it could be kind of hard. It doesn't mean that it can't be done, but it just tells you it's not going to be a walk in the park, so to speak. And pray that your flight be not in the winter because it could be a tough journey in the cold. And in another part of the Bible, it says that it's not on the Sabbath day, a day when we want to rest, be at peace, and have services and so on. But if it comes on the Sabbath, then we better flee. You know, Israel fled out of Egypt on the first holy day. The night to be observed is when they went out, and the next day was an annual Sabbath. So if it's in the winter and you're pregnant and on the Sabbath and the word comes, this is it. This is the time to go. In faith, go. And here's why. For in those days shall be tribulation, affliction, but the actual meaning is tribulation, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And you don't want to be left back in the tribulation. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved alive, not spiritually speaking. But for the elect's sake whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. False prophets, false ministers, teaching false things about Christ, and some of them even claiming that they're Christ, perhaps. Some do that now. To confuse and tempt and seduce people, and they'll do it too. And if it were possible, they'd be able to even do it to the elect. But it's not possible because their eyes have been open. They know the truth, and they are not going to be deceived if they are the very elect, which means they're very close to God, and they're following Jesus Christ. But take you heed, behold, I have foretold you all these things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. All of this is coming. The world doesn't believe it. The world doesn't know it, but it's all going to come, and it will shake everything up. This is about a time that's never happened before and never will happen again. And all these disasters and things that stir people up and create such havoc now, by comparison to this, will be like a picnic. This is going to be like nothing that's ever happened before and that will ever happen again. And it's going to be terrifying. And then shall he send his angels and so gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. In other words, wherever his people are, he's going to gather them together and take them to the place of safety. His elect. It's just talking about in the environs of the earth and the first heaven, of course, the atmosphere. Verse 28, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Certain things have to happen that lead to this. And when you see those things happening, you know it's getting nearer to the final prophetic fulfillments of the tribulation and the heavenly signs and of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Just like you can see that summer is near when trees start to sprout in the spring and leaves start to come out. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. What generation? The generation that is alive at the time these things are happening. That's the generation it's talking about. Heaven and earth shall pass away. There will be new heavens and new earths. But my words shall not pass away. What I'm telling you is going to happen. But of that day and that hour knows no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And yet people are always trying to set dates and always trying to figure out when all this is going to happen. And it says it in the Bible over and over again. And here's a place, one of the places where it says it. Of that day and that hour knows no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So there's no need to try to set dates. Here's what to do. Don't be trying to set dates and calculate when it's all going to happen down to the exact day and hour. Don't do that. Do this. Verse 33. Take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at even, or at midnight, or at the rooster crowing, or in the morning. Verse 36, now notice the wording here, brethren. Notice the wording. Lest coming, what's the word? Suddenly, he find you sleeping. Spiritually sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So let's take heed to what he's telling us here, and let's stay on our toes. Let's be informed. Let's be aware of what's going on. Let's be aware of what the prophecies say. Let's stay fully engaged in obeying God and living his way. Let's don't let ourselves get distracted by what's taking place in the world, pulled off by this, that, and the other seductive thing going on, but staying right on the beam and keeping our eyes right on the goal and being ready so that when this all comes, then we'll be protected and we'll be looked after and taken to the place of safety and then from there resurrected into the kingdom. So we'll stop there and pick it up with chapter 14 next time. This is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.